welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my super fine wife, Beth.
Hmm. The day before our children come home from Israel.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pumped up.
Neil Diamond did a song years ago called Coming to America. And we just sent it to
him. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
On today's call.
We're going to talk about another do not fear scripture.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, Lord. And it's going to come out of, we're starting over again. Well, I say that. Deuteronomy 3:22. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you.
Glory. That is powerful. Just think about that. The Lord is fighting for you.
Yes.
On today's call, we're going to talk about the title is, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Mm.
You know, I'm not big on complaining, and neither are you. As a matter of fact, over the years, we've worked hard to eliminate it in our own lives. Sometimes I find myself rather intolerant of others who whine and complain. I can only imagine how God feels. Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. 16, 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Children of Israel had only been in the wilderness for 1 month, and they were ready to pack it up and head back to Egypt. Even though the scripture references Moses and Aaron, the truth is, the Israelites were expressing their discontent, frustrations, and ingratitude toward God, for Moses and Aaron represented God to the people.
That's true.
So now let's get this picture. Here are five reasons why the children of Israel should never be complaining.
And yet they did. One, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord to deliver them from the cruel Egyptian taskmasters. And guess what? God did. In Exodus 3:7, and they lived to see it. I mean, there were people that probably cried out for them for generations, and they lived to see it. And it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors, for I know their sorrow and suffering and trials.
Number two, the children of Israel were miraculously spared while the Egyptians endured 10 plagues, right down to claiming the firstborn male child of every Egyptian. Exodus 12:13 says, the blood shall be a token or a sign to you, the doorposts of the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall come upon you to destroy you, even when I smite the land of Egypt.
Wow. Number three, the children of Israel witnessed their deliverance by God's hand against the mightiest nation in the world at that time. Exodus 14, verse 13 says, Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. Wow.
Number four, the children of Israel received an unprecedented transfer of wealth when they left Egypt. The New Living Translation of Exodus 12:36 says it this way. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth.
And five, the children of Israel were living in divine health. Are you hearing this? The children of Israel were living in divine health with absolutely no sickness and disease. Exodus 15:26 says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do what is right in his sight and will listen to and obey his commands and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. After all these signs, yay, God is excited too. After all these signs and wonders, God tested the children of Israel to be sure their hearts were committed to trust him for provision. Listen now, this is very, very important. If God tested the children of Israel, and he's tested all the people in the Bible, don't think you're not going to go through a few tests to see if your heart is, you know, trusting him. Deuteronomy 8:2, Classic Amplified Bible says, "And you shall earnestly remember all the ways which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you to know what was in your mind and heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." The point is, do we just start, and I'm telling you, your flesh is weak. No, listen, and nobody's going to deny that. The flesh is weak, but are you going to start denying that God is in your life when things, you know, start to go south? The children of Israel failed that test.
Yes,
in
they
fact,
did.
I don't even think they got one answer right.
Nope.
They rejected God's leadership. They rejected his laws and his provision. As a result, not one of them within the slave generation got to see the promised land except Joshua and Caleb.
So how does God feel when we murmur and complain? Scripture says God's not happy about it. Numbers 11:1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. His anger kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. What displeases the Lord? Complaining. If you look up the word displeased in Strong's Concordance, you'll find there are two Hebrew words referenced there. The words are H-7451, which means evil, and H-241, which means ears. In other words, the complaining of the children of Israel was considered evil to the ears of the Lord.
Mm.
Wow. Scripture is very clear that God feels complaining is evil. It says that God also got angry. Now, that's probably not something we want to do, to make God angry. Not only that, but there are consequences to the ingratitude. Numbers 11:1 goes on to say, the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them. Hallelujah. Wow. Our first thought was the fact that we'd all better watch our complaining. Or carry a fire extinguisher with us wherever we go.
Mm.
Not that it would do any good.
There you go.
And we're not sure.
Well, we're not sure you're, you know, way too spiritual to have said the following, but sometimes people will say, gosh, I could never catch a break, or when is God going to deliver me out of this mess, and have any of these, or it wasn't my fault that this happened to me. Have any of these or similar words come out of your mouth? If so, we suggest you repent and go and be careful around fires. But the point of it is this, look, We're all going to complain one time or another because we're not perfect people. But we can repent and realize that God has woke us up this morning. You know, we were able to get out of bed. We were able to, you know, come in and probably have your coffee if you're, you know, like us. And you know what I mean? Get ready for another day. But are we thinking about what the great things are that's going to, you know, that have happened to us? Or are we thinking about the things that have not gone right? And believe me, it's easy to think about the things that haven't gone right because the enemy will remind you every time you turn around. Do we complain about what we have or don't have going on? Or how do we respond to our circumstances? Thankfulness. Thankfulness to God is a huge asset. Because what you feed grows and what you starve dies. Sometimes we just have to change our perspective and think about the ways in which we are thankful for what God has done for us. According to the World Bank, more than 1 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. Nearly 3 billion people live on less than $2 a day. And yet, people spend that and twice and three times as much as Starbucks every morning on the way to work. Think about it. Truthfully and sadly, the rest of this world would be amazed at the people in the United States and the industrialized nations of the world to feel that we are not satisfied.
If we have a house, well, we want a bigger house. We have a car, we want a newer car with more bells and whistles. If we get a vacation, we want it to be longer or better or bigger. And when we don't get what we want, we have a tendency to complain. Can you see that such grumbling is being disrespectful toward God's provisions for us? And it also restricts his desire to bless us with even more. So who wants to bless a spoiled child? If you have children or grandchildren, how do you feel when they aren't appreciative of what you've done for them? You can give them a cell phone, but it's not an iPhone or an Android, so they complain. You can give them a car to drive when they're 16, but it's not the make, model, or year they wanted. They're going to complain.
What is it that our good old friend Charlie used to say? I loved it. He said, hey, Grandmama, you got a really poor old car at 16. And she goes, well, honey, she goes, a poor car is better than a proud walk.
That's it.
I love that. I love that. So,
you buy them clothes and they don't care the designer label they want. We're sure you're getting the point. You're not happy when your children, grandchildren don't appreciate the things that you've done for them.
Mm. So how does God feel, or how do you think that God might feel when his children are down here complaining about what it is that they have to put up with? So how do we think that God will respond to us wanting more in the future when we complain about what we already have right now? Did you eat breakfast this morning? Maybe you haven't quite done it yet. Did you have food? Did you have a house that you could stay in that was comfortable and you didn't have to worry about the heat going off or the air conditioning coming on? I mean, seriously, when we complain, we often, the scripture says, tie God's hands. He can't and won't release into our lives what he has in store for us. You know why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
And we need to praise God for the things that we do have on a regular basis. What about the things we prayed for and we received, and now it's causing us trouble? Anyway, bottom line, finally, if we want an attitude and a conversation to be pleasing to God, then we need to use the children of Israel as an example and adapt an attitude of gratitude instead of one of complaining.
So true.
Mm. Well, we all have to be reminded. I'm telling you, nobody's perfect.
No.
Everybody, you know, goes, wow, that just didn't go the way I wanted it to do.
Thank God for repentance.
But that's exactly right. But the thing about it is there are so many things that do go our way. And sometimes we just have to stop, pause, and go, Lord, look at how you have blessed us, and I know that you will never leave us or forsake us, and you haven't given up on us, and you won't start now.
And that's the greatest blessing of all.
It really is.
Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking these rich thoughts from the Word of God.
And if you want to feel what we're feeling,
yeah,
go to YouTube.
Oh.
Search for Coming to America by Neil Diamond.
Yeah, we're so blessed to live in this country, even
Amen.
With all its problems.
Amen. Till tomorrow, God bless you. Bye-bye.